Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 6:46 of hot Thursday evening, heading into the three-day Memorial Day weekend. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, Lansing Mayor Virg Bernero today doing what he said he might, vetoing most of the Lansing City Council's changes to his proposed city budget. So what were the changes that he opposed, and where do we go from here? To find out, the mayor joins me now. Virg, thank you so much for coming on the program, Capital City Recap on WILS.
Happy to be on, Mike. My apologies for the confusion earlier. I got home and my wife had this beautiful Italian dinner waiting, so I kind of lost my head.
No, certainly you have to have priorities. Now, for this for this weekend, do you have any plans? Are you getting out of town?
I'm not getting out of town. I'm staying right in town. I'm going to be in the parade. I got my dad visiting. We're going to have some family out here. I'll fire up the barbecue. Although ours won't be a traditional barbecue. We'll be doing some homemade Italian pizzas
The barbecue. That sounds yummy. Now, you attended Monday night's meeting, and you made it very clear that you would not hesitate to use your veto power. Before today, when was the last time you did that?
Probably last budget year. I got a pretty good track record. None of my vetoes have ever been overturned. So, I mean, I try to work with the folks if they're reasonable, if they'll be reasonable, Mike. I mean, but I can't base a budget on monopoly money. That's the difference between being on the council and being the mayor. I'm responsible. I have to actually govern. They can posture and take positions and give speeches. I have to actually run the city. I have to have real money to do it.
The council, though, did one of the amendments that they put in was making budget cuts over $67,000 to your own mayoral office budget. It included over $26,000 that would be cut from the salary of Bishop David Maxwell. He's the head of your Office of Community and Faith-Based Initiatives, right? Did you veto that?
Of course. That takes a lot of nerve, doesn't it? Well, I mean, here they added to their budget. They added to their staff and cut mine. I mean, come on.
Well,
on the face of it, I have less staff than any previous mayor. Check it out. I have less staff members than any previous mayor. I've reduced the cost of the mayor's staff over the years. I'm not adding staff, but we got a job to do. We actually run the city. Unlike the part-time city council, we actually run the city on a day-to-day basis.
Well, you know,
I need some staff to do that.
Councilmember Aileen Robinson proposed this cut. What she said, and we hear this from other council members, that there was just not enough information given on that program and what was being accomplished with the funds.
Yeah, they never get enough information. I guess they should work a little harder at getting the information. Look, David Maxwell works his butt off for this city. We get far more than the whatever it is, 25 grand he gets paid as a little stipend. He is leveraging the community, the faith community. He has won tens of thousands of dollars, if not millions, in terms of grants that have come because of his work and because of mobilizing the faith community. I'm proud of what the faith community has done. I'm proud of the individual pastors, those that have come up alongside him shoulder to shoulder, and are working to meet the very real need in this community. While the others give speeches, we're running mobile food clinics and all sorts of other programs to take care of the unmet need in this community. And David Maxwell is marshaling a lot of those forces to make that happen. I don't apologize one bit for a penny of David Maxwell. We get that back tenfold what Bishop Maxwell does.
What about this information issue? It came up with the police headquarters. Council members have said even when it comes to our deficits, they're not getting enough detailed info before they make these budget votes, and they feel
bullcrap. Yeah, Mike, bullcrap. Bull. Absolute bull. Please, give me a break. All the information is there. You know, these folks look for a reason to justify their existence. I have a job to do. I'm running the city. I don't really have every hour. I can't spend every hour of my day running around to get accounting information for Carol Wood and Aileen Robinson. They have their own staff person, Arnie. They have their own budget person. It's all public. You can look at it. They can look at it. If you care about it, if they care about it, go get the information. I'm trying to run a city, keep us afloat, and let's talk about the real issues. Mike, okay, you're killing me with this little petty What I want to talk about, Michael, is the fact that they passed a budget amendment based on monopoly money. The big part of the budget, which you haven't talked about yet, maybe you were getting to it. I'm sorry to interrupt.
We're talking about BWL, right?
But, right, Okay, thank you. Okay, well, you want to talk about penny ante book? I'm talking about $1.5 million in money that doesn't exist.
Now you,
okay,
you
and they've built an expansion of the budget based on money that isn't there. I already got $3 million from the Board of Water and Light, new money. How much do you think you can milk? How much blood can you get out of a turnip? Come on, let's not kill the goose that lays the golden egg. The Board of Water and Light does a wonderful job.
Your proposal does call for an increase in contribution from BWL from 4 to 5%. The city council says, why not just bring in another 0.5% to 5.5%? Why is that that unreasonable?
Why not another 0.5%? Why not another 0.5%? Why not more? Because you can kill the goose that lays the golden egg. The Board of Water and Light does a phenomenal job, and they're involved in this community in a host of different ways, a myriad of different ways. And I think what we're doing is prudent and what's reasonable. What the council wants to get away from is tough decisions. And there's no way to get away from tough decisions. We are in a tough time in this economy, and the Pac-Men of this budget, what's eating up the budget, is health care and pension of our retirees. We can't get away from that. And you can't get away from it by going and delivering our troubles, our woes, at the doorstep of the Board of Water and Light.
That's a long-term issue, though, right? That's certainly what
it's a long-term issue, Mike, and it's a right-now issue. The actuaries were recently in. They did a study, and they want an additional $3 million out of the general fund starting next year. It's a long-range issue, and it's a short-range issue that we must deal with. And that's why in my budget, I propose dealing with these issues and getting concessions, talking to our labor unions, and working together. And instead, what the council wants to do is put off the day of reckoning. If you read the State Journal, you'll see they did an editorial a couple days ago saying the day of reckoning is here. The day of reckoning is right now. We have to face these issues now. We can't just kick the can down the road and say we're going to extract more money out of the Board of Water and Light. And by the way, Mike,
can I see
more money from the Board of Water and Light, there's an excellent chance that what they'll have to do is increase rates. And so what you're really doing is forcing a tax increase by another name.
Well, tell me the logistics of the Board of Water and Light board approved your proposal. Now, if the council is able to overturn your veto or override it with the 6 votes, would they be able to force the BWL to go with this 5.5%?
No. And that's the irony of it. I mean, if the council was, for the first time in history, able to overturn my veto, if they were able to do it, it means nothing as far as getting money for the Board of Water and Light, because the Board of Water and Light is an independent body. We own the Board of Water and Light. They're an asset of the city. But under our city charter, they're an entirely separate independent board. So they've already said, we're giving you 5%. We're giving you a $3 million increase, and that's it. So really, this is kind of a game of chicken between the five majority on the council, led by Brian Jeffries, who said he's going to vote against anything but 5.5%. And what I don't think they realize, what I don't think they calculated, Mike, is that they could end up with zero. Because if they don't give me a resolution adopting 5%, then they will have created a $17 million hole in next year's budget, because it'll go back to zero. The contract that we currently have with the Board of Water and Light expires June 30th. July 1, the new fiscal year begins. And so if I have to begin the new fiscal year starting July 1st without that guaranteed $17 million payment, because they don't act, that means I have to do a deficit elimination order, and I'll have to completely rewrite the budget starting July 1.
Yeah, you know, the council budget vote was 5-3. The three members voting against were Kathy Dunbar, Jessica Yorko, and Tina Houghton.
The three reasonable folks.
Well, they also are far newer to the council. I mean, the five that are there voting against or voting for these changes are real veterans. Some would say they have more insight of how the city works.
No, that's actually not true. That's actually a misinterpretation. I would disagree with that. No, that's not true. That's not factually accurate.
Well, in the sense
what you just said, do your homework, Mike. No, that's not true.
That's
true in some cases. It's not true in all cases.
I see, but on the whole, you'd say certainly someone like Carol Wood has a real.
Two of the oldest, longest-term troublemakers, Carol and Brian, definitely. They've been there the longest, and they're the ones that need to go the worst. Yeah, no question about that.
They also, wouldn't you agree, they have some additional perspective to how the city runs?
Agree that they're the biggest troublemakers, and they need to go immediately.
These three council members, do you view them as allies on the council?
I view them as the three reasonable people on the council. I view them as the three rational, reasonable people, thinking people. Yeah.
So one thing, too, about this consolidated police headquarters, is there going to be any money spent on further plans for the consolidated headquarters?
Not at this time. I put that on hold temporarily, and what I did, I put that money in a police preservation fund, which the veterans of which you speak said, no, we need to spend that money now. I said, we're going to put it in a police preservation fund. We're going to set it aside and actually save, Mike. Instead of spend, we're going to do something that the veterans don't know much about. Save. We're going to save that money so that when the grant expires, we have 11 officers on a federal grant that expires in 2.5 years, and I'm concerned about how we're going to pay that $1.2 million in a couple of years because we can't just count on growth. So I'm actually, in my budget, and I think I'll sustain, I think my veto will be sustained, I put that money back in the police officer's preservation fund so that hopefully in 3 years, 2.5, 3 years, we have close to $1 million saved up so we can keep those officers working. See, budgeting isn't just about today or even just about today and tomorrow. It's about looking down the road and doing things that make sense and are in the best interest of the city.
Your original proposal was to invest in further plans for the consolidated headquarters, was it not?
Yes, it was, and I think in the long run we need that. But I listened to the council who said this wasn't a good time, and so on, and I became convinced. The other thing that happened is since my budget was proposed, we got new. Two things happened, Mike, since then, factually, if you look at the calendar. Since my budget first came out, which called for the new police station, and I still believe we need a new police station in the long run.
30 seconds left, by the way.
Pardon?
Oh, 30 seconds left, by the way. But
okay, two things happened. We got the actuary study that showed that our pension fund was underfunded, and we're going to have to put $3 million in next year, potentially. And the new budget, the third quarter budget report came in that showed we had a deficit. So I felt, given the worsening economic situation, we were just going to have to wait a little further before we start investing in a new police station, which will be refurbished. It's a building we already own, and I do think it's better to own than to lease in the long run anyway.
Your bet is the three that were in agreement with you on these amendments are not going to turn when it gets back to the council.
Exactly. My veto will be upheld just like all my other ones have been.
Lansing Mayor Virg Bernaros, thank you so much. Hopefully we can have you on again soon.
Thanks, Mike. Look forward to it.
All right. Excellent. We will be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.